from Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And as you know, if you listen to this show, when you do listen, you have to turn the lights down low. And here she is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mother confessor, your ever so slightly twisted little sister, your daughter of the American Revelation, and tonight another daughter of the American Revelation is celebrating her big win in New Hampshire. A woman might be president. We might replace the old Bush with a new Bush. A woman's Bush. We shall see. But anyway, now it is an interesting contest. Really interesting here. The Democratic primary is really between a woman and a black man. It's pretty impressive in this country that has been so ruled by a patriarchal system for all of its years of existence, and a white patriarchal system at that. So, it's an interesting contest. And, of course, you get two for one with Hill. You get Bill.
You get Billy back. Get some sex back into the
White House. I was listening to him kind of try to attack Obama, but he was losing his voice.
Yeah.
Once again, gets that raspy voice. He's the smartest of all of them, the quickest thinking on his feet, but he just gets laryngitis.
I heard he did pretty good though.
Yeah.
So.
With his laryngitis, right. Squeaking away. But she's doing pretty good. She's doing pretty good.
Yep. So
And McCain.
Oh, this guy
has also won in the Republican end of things.
Yeah.
Defeating Romney in his backyard.
Not good.
Well, it might be. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's still pretty up in the air with the three of them.
You know, McCain is pretty old too, isn't he?
He's 71.
71, yeah, that's
how old was Reagan when he became president?
He was younger than that.
Was he?
Yeah, I think he was 60, in his early 60s.
Maybe, no, not early 60s. I think late, he was in his 70s when he was still president, but I don't think he was already in his 70s when he ran for president. Certainly not the first time.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, Obama was 12 percentage points ahead of Hillary
in the polls. And
the polls.
Speaking of that,
which is kind
there's
of interesting.
Something here I was going to have a look at. Pundits eat crow. It's funny how they just predict everything based on the other thing.
Well, I, of course, said she would win.
Yes. Howard Fineman writes, I wrote a piece the other day about the apparent implosion of Hillary's presidential campaign in New Hampshire. My editors asked me to put a new top on my piece once the results were in, unless, of course, I was wrong, in which case I would go immediately to Plan B. This is Plan B. Is this a great country or what? Voters actually decide things. And what the Democratic and independent voters said in New Hampshire is that they want the conversation about their choice for the presidency to begin, not end. Hillary Clinton has won the primary. There will be no immediate coronation of Senator Barack Obama. Hillary lives, to say the least. So, by the way, does former Senator John Edwards. just 48 hours ago, it seemed like the Obama wave was going to crest over New Hampshire. Several polls projected he would win the Democratic primary, and with that victory, he would come close to locking up the nomination. Top Clinton supporters were saying the same thing, looking for ways to abandon the senator from New York and embrace the one from Illinois. Here's what I think happened on the way to the New Hampshire coronation. Women. Hillary lost the female vote in Iowa. She apparently won it big time in New Hampshire. Tears. Hillary's heartfelt explanation of her reasons for being in politics apparently was effective, especially among women. I didn't see this, but I did hear that she cried
at
a certain point.
She didn't. Wasn't a full out.
No, it was like a teary thing.
Yeah, a little teary.
A little watery eyed over her love of her country or something.
But
appropriate.
I heard something.
Not because she,
I heard something kind of interesting. Marr had a client, and he said, "Oh, it's Hillary's done for."
Oh, really?
And he hadn't seen the results yet. So Marr said, "Well, she won." And he said, "She won."
She won.
Oh, really?
No.
She won.
Some people really wanted Hillary to be done for. Yeah. There are people that hate her.
Well, wait
really
a minute.
Hate her. I don't even think people hate Obama like that.
He said. But she was, way behind in the polls.
Yeah.
And so forth and so on. And then the conversation went on. He goes, "But this guy Obama, he's not ready for the presidency. He's way too naive. He's young. He's never run anything in his life.
Right.
And so he was kind of almost like...
Oh, he completely backpedaled, obviously.
Yeah.
We won't say who he is.
But
he's obviously not a Hillary hater. And I guess that the people that...
But that's the biggest question about Obama.
Yeah.
He's really not run a company. He's not run anything.
No.
He talks like a preacher. He's got a good...
Has he been in the Senate for how long? Just a couple years?
Yeah, just a...
He got into the Senate fairly recently.
He's totally unknown. And something else that I found, I guess I found this out from Billy. Was it Billy?
Yeah.
Who said, I think it was Billy, who said, or somebody pointed out, of course, he didn't vote for the war, but as soon as the war started, he voted for all the funding bills. For the war. Obama.
Uh-huh. Mm. He voted for all the funding bills for the war.
Yeah. So it was a smart move, but then once we went to war, he said, well, I have to support the troops, in essence.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I still give him credit for voting against the war. I mean, I think that was a smart vote.
Yeah, I think it was a smart vote, too, and but I don't think it took great... bravery to actually do that.
I think it did because Hillary didn't do it, and I fault her for that.
Okay, well,
I do.
But
otherwise, I'm supportive of her, and she has a lot of other things.
The fact is, they all funded the war.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
That's a big.
And none of them have a good plan for getting out quickly, really. I mean,
I think the only one that does is Ron Paul, but he's never going to make it.
Right.
And he puts it very
simply. So I don't know that Obama has a better plan than Hillary for getting out of there. I'm not sure. What their plans are for getting out.
I don't know either.
But I do know they're not getting out quickly, either one. They want to keep their corporate sponsors happy. Let's face it. Hillary has a lot of corporate sponsors. So does Obama. They have. That's why they're front runners.
But keep in mind that actually corporate people, as much as I dislike,
are people too.
No. I was going to say, is that it's not really for the general benefit of America. The corporate people that are involved there. It's mostly the industrial military complex. And so basically we had gotten rid of it, and now the only part of the economy that is thriving are people who are in some way involved in the war.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, so one more reason for Hillary's favor. New Hampshire voters here don't like to do what Iowa does, and more importantly, what the national media predicts they're going to do. It's the live free or die state. They cherish their unpredictability, which they proved once again. So they like to surprise people.
That's right. Surprise, surprise.
Okay, so I already have somebody in talking. I didn't put him there, but his name is The Dark. I think it's a he. The Dark, 1988. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Are you there? Okay, let's see if I can put him to listening. Somehow. Oh, there he goes. Okay. And I'm going to try to put somebody else into talking who's in waiting. Midget Bazaar? Hello? Midget Bazaar? Okay. Well.
All right. Now,
there we go.
These are very talkative talkers.
Talkers. You know, we're talking about the American election, the primaries. It's very exciting here in America where, you know, I mean, none of the candidates are fantastic, really.
It's always the lesser of 20 evils here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
It's hard to really get excited, even about Hillary. You kind of get excited about her because of Bill, and because she's a woman, and...
Well, you know certain things about
Hillary.
And
you know she's smart. You know she's very intelligent, and you know she's a little bit socialist,
right?
You know, and corporate at the same time.
Right. And remember, she was a Republican, so if you want to talk about change, you know, that's pretty powerful change.
She was a Republican when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she worked on the Watergate thing.
Right, right.
Or when did she become a Democrat? When she met Bill?
I'm not sure, but she did switch parties, and I, you know.
And they have a really interesting, nice relationship, I think.
They seem to. I mean, she came through, you know, the blowjobs and the cigar dipping and, you know, all of that.
Right. And he just seems to adore her.
He does, yeah.
It's almost like he's saying she is his goddess. It's just that he has this terrible, not terrible, but just kind of goofy need for affairs, just like a need for McDonald's hamburgers that he, you know, really wishes he didn't have, but he loves it. I mean, you know, he does have those weaknesses, but he loves her. And really, she's like his goddess. It's really nice.
Yeah. By the way, before we talk to anyone else, Doctor, what's his name? Dr. Meanie, the guy that has the television show, the therapist.
Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil.
Oh, he wanted to get in on Britney.
Did you hear that?
Oh, that's so ridiculous. One of my clients sent that to me.
He went to the hospital.
Ah,
she
that
was
is
totally
so
stunned.
So crass.
And then comes out and
going to the hospital.
Right. And then he comes out of the hospital making statements about how she needs
his help.
Intervention immediately
and to help his ratings.
Yeah. And so they were negotiating he was going to do an interview with the family, cuz I don't think she's going to do an interview with the guy. And the whole thing broke down, and he started getting accused of exploiting her, and the psychiatric world is going...
He's a jerk.
How can you make statements like that? You're not supposed to be talking about about your client.
You know, he's very judgmental, arrogant,
and a shyster,
and a fool, and an opportunist.
Opportunist. I mean, this guy. Dr. Phil,
this
please.
Guy needs to be put in a stock and pilloried.
I think he needs medical attention. Calm down.
Okay, we have Alex Bourne.
Hey, Alex.
Hello. Hello, Alex.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing good.
What's going on with
first
you?
First of all, I want to say Dr. Phil is a fucking moron.
Isn't he? He's an opportunist and an idiot.
You got that right.
I mean, how could he be so dumb? I mean, to come up with the idea of moving in on Britney's tragic celebrity is crass enough, but then not to have the wisdom to know it would backfire, that's really weird. He probably should be locked up himself. He's dangerous.
And also to...
Yeah, I think he has too much dildos up his ass.
That too.
He probably does. Well, and also for him to come out of the hospital and talk about his patient, which is like totally against...
Well, wait a second. She's not his patient.
Right, she's not even his patient.
She is not.
Exactly.
That's right.
No, he's just figuring, you know, celebrity to celebrity, I can just say hi. I mean, I don't know.
And how did he get into a room? Because she was surprised.
I must admit, I had an idea. You know, I can relate to where he's coming from, but he is such an asshole. Because the other day, remember I said, let's invite Britney to the show. Because I thought, well, you know, she's kind of fallen down on hard times, and we would be very welcoming to her. And we would have her on the show, and she would be on the show, which she wouldn't do probably when she's really, like, on top of the world. So, I mean, I thought of that. I didn't do anything. I certainly didn't go to her hospital. This wasn't when she was in the hospital anyway. But, I mean, I know what he's thinking in terms of, okay, now's the time.
Well, I think he's been actually talking to the family over a period of time, and he even said in the interview that he did on his sister station, on his sister program that's on the same station, he said, well, people don't really know how long I've been working behind the scenes with them. And then he says, like, way too long.
Yeah, like, that's his pub, his guest
idiot.
Guy wants to, you know, is trying to get them on the show. Yeah, well, I mean, do you watch Dr. Phil? Alex, have you watched him? I can't even say I've watched him.
Oh. Yeah, well, I just watched the show, you know, to see how of a dumbass he really is.
Oh, good. Well,
you know,
I'm glad. I can't put up with that.
Sending out to people, you know?
Yeah. How else
is
he a dumbass?
Why I watch the show.
Well, you know, for a guy who can hand it out, he sure is having a problem right now because he's really very defensive about... what he did.
He's very moralistic.
Yeah, he's very moralistic.
I mean, that seems to be what he's about. He's like a former, what is he, a former...
Marine or something.
Marine or football coach or something like that who tells people to take responsibility for everything.
Take responsibility
God,
for
whatever.
This one.
Yeah, he likes to verbally slap people around for ratings because people do, you know, I mean, face it, the American public is bloodthirsty and they like to see their fellow Americans being tortured.
I'm surprised.
They do. That's why they like Dr. Laura. That's why they give ratings to Dr. Phil. But he is an asshole, and actually he might have some problems now.
I'm surprised that Dr. Laura didn't show up in the room also.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, I'm Dr. Laura. Hi,
right.
I'm Dr. Phil.
Well, you know, Gloria Allred does the same thing.
Yeah,
she shows up as the lawyer. Okay, I'm here. I'm going to represent you and whatever problem you might have. I'm surprised she hasn't shown up.
You're right.
Because after all, Britney is
You're
the
You're talking
mother.
Sideways into your microphone.
Britney, I know. I like to look at you.
So.
Yeah. But Dr. Phil should lose his show, really. We've had enough of him, haven't we?
I've only watched it once, so...
I only watched, like, a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And it just...
He's obnoxious.
And not funny. You know? I mean, not... I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean, you know. It just makes you want to, you know, slap his little bald-ass head, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to slap the shit out of him, you know. Every time I watch a show.
Yeah,
makes me want to stick my foot up his ass.
Well.
Size 12.
Jeez.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, we got to get rid of him. We got to stick our national foot up his ass and boot him off the airwaves.
And kick him out of the national
out. It's enough of him. He is useless to everyone. He's just, we've had enough.
For something.
I think Oprah should abandon
Columbia.
Him. Does Oprah still stand by this guy, or have they had a falling out? Do you know? I know Oprah kind of made him by putting him on her show because he was kind of odd and interesting. Or I guess he testified somewhere or something.
Yeah, he testified, all right.
Well, I mean, he's a bossy guy. And like I said, the American public has a bottomless hunger for watching people
get tortured by
assholes. They love to watch people get tortured by assholes. And he's an asshole, and he tortures people.
Yeah.
And he's arrogant, and I don't know. I mean, but I think perhaps America does have some level of taste.
They do. Like this guy we're talking to. Stick this up your...
I mean, you know, Judge Judy, they're all kind of like this, really. They're all like that. But he's really the worst, I think. The most moralistic and the most kind of full of himself and obviously deranged.
You say that again.
So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hawaii.
Ah, Hawaii.
Oh, aloha.
Okay. Aloha. So what time...
Aloha to you.
What time is it down under there?
No, don't.
Hello?
He's not down under.
Oh.
He's in Hawaii.
No, I know.
But anyway, he got flipped off the...
Something happened.
Yeah, something happened. He
went underwater.
It sounded like he went under.
Right. Sorry about
underwater.
That.
Underwater.
Well, hope you can still hear us. Okay, so there you go.
So there he went.
Okay.
Anyway, we're talking about Hillary and Brittany tonight.
Hillary, Brittany.
The two women of the news.
And Dr.
And Dr. Phil.
And Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil, you're a...
Dr. Phil should just... The guy is right.
Nose.
Alex is right. He should be booted through the ass off the air. He's just disgusting. He's just useless. And nasty. I mean, he's
yeah.
not even helpful.
Well.
So. But in the meantime, Hillary and Brittany are the women of the moment. And I'm kind of rooting for both of them.
Yeah, I really feel bad for Brittany, you know.
I do.
You know what, though? I think that now...
They're two kind of blondes.
Yeah, and Brittany...
And they're overachieving blondes. And you know, they both have issues. They're controversial.
I think that one of the big struggles that Brittany is having is trying to be a mother, okay? Trying to be a good mother in mm-hmm. front of everybody. You know, and
I frankly think, I'm sorry for this, and, I know it's all the rage to have oodles of children at a very young age right now, but I think she had her kids a little young.
Well, I think so, too. Yeah, I think so,
you
too.
You know, and I think
and
she
it was
just...
All, you know, it's all such a rage now.
Such a rage.
You know,
it
but, I, you know, I want to see these marriages and these kids that are being born by these movie stars whose marriages are one after the other, you know, and then they're all trying to be so mumsy and cute and protecting, you know.
And she just couldn't handle the transition because she was a child star,
right.
And she wasn't really an adult star. She didn't, but she was trying to make two transitions simultaneously. I mean, what she was trying to do was like a really... really ambitious, dangerous move, and she fell. The move was to transition into the world of adult entertainment, you know, being not a porn star, but some kind of grown-up entertainment.
You're talking again into your...
I'm looking at you. Oh, some kind of adult star. From being a teeny bopper, and she was also trying to make the transition into being a mother of two,
which is difficult even in a normal household when you're
right.
when you're young and, you know, so.
And there's obviously something going on in that family with the whole baby-making concept because, I mean, the sister who's 16 is pregnant.
Well, I mean, I don't hold that against her, you know, but, it's, you know, you have this career. I don't think people know what it actually means to beget a child, and we talk about it in such great joys and so forth, but basically, here's the deal. Your life's over. For years, you are now enslaved to this child. And
well,
God forbid, you say, oh, this is horrible, this child-rearing thing. Everybody has to say, oh, I love my children, aren't they cute? You know, it's like so strained and you know, and everybody has the best-looking kid in the world.
Well, you know, you wonder, people like Brittany, I would imagine she would think, I'm rich, I can afford plenty of nannies and...
Susan, your microphone, you really, turn it...
Yeah, I can afford, you know, whatever it takes, nannies, all the best care. I don't have to be that put out by motherhood.
But she doesn't have nannies, and that's another thing I don't understand.
Why doesn't she have nannies?
Why doesn't she have a nanny? That nannies, and why doesn't she have a driver that when she takes drugs or
what is
gets
wrong
stoned
there?
Or whatever...
Why not?
You know, why? Because...
What is that about?
I have no idea. I really don't.
And now maybe she's being influenced by Dr. Laura and Dr. Phil that say you got to be a stay-at-home mother.
And
you've
got to
be, you've got to mother your children constantly.
Right. Like my mother mothered me.
Mm.
She went off to Europe and left me with the butler and the maid, which was wonderful.
Right. No, Brittany should have done that, I think, because her taking care of these kids was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we now have, perhaps, Kurdistan. Someone in Kurdistan? Hello? In Iraq?
Hello, Iraq.
Hello, Iraq. Hello, Kurdistan.
Come in.
Yes, yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Just I'm listening to your conversations between you. I don't know really what to say, but from my point of view, I see you're talking about different issues, but in your speeches, you're very negative about whatever you're speaking about. I don't know why you're like that.
I'm not sure what your question is. We're talking about Hillary and Brittany in the United States.
And
we have two women that are in the news.
And you talked about Dr. Phil almost for 20 minutes, and you're saying over and over again how horrible the person is, and you're talking about you're negative about having a child. So, and you're calling yourself Dr. Susan and helping people. I don't think how you can actually help people.
We help people all the time. And, you know, listen,
how?
I'll stick my own boot up
how
my own butt. What do you mean?
How do we help?
Let me tell you how we can help.
All different ways.
Let me count the ways.
We help by talking. We help by talking to people.
But if you're so negative, how you can do it?
Well, sometimes it helps to be negative. Sometimes when other people feel negative and someone who's talking, a talk show host, talks negatively, it affirms their feelings, and it feels good. It's a form of release. It's a form of venting. That's why a lot of talk show hosts do talk negative. I don't do it all that often, but I do sometimes. I was tonight. And you, of course, have taken great offense that I've been being negative. I'm usually very positive. I'm all about make love, not war. But, you know, I do go after people. I go after
when they misbehave.
War criminals. I go after moralists, people that are hypocrites. I would say that this Dr. Phil is a hypocrite. telling other people to be so moral when he himself is an opportunist going after a suffering celebrity mom. So, you know, I think it helps people. I think as a doctor of philosophy, which is what I am, and a sex therapist, I help people on this show simply by talking. Sometimes I help them with their problems, like your garden variety love advisor, and sometimes I just talk about my own feelings, my politics, my philosophy, and sometimes I'm upset about something.
And we're certainly always critical of someone in the same...
Can be part of,
no, listen.
Can be part of jealousy.
I'm not a robot. I'm
not
some
jealousy.
Kind of,
no,
you know,
no.
Sex therapist but, robot that doesn't have feelings.
You can have a feeling, but...
Oh, thank you.
And I can also... Let me tell you something else I can do. When I have somebody in my own profession who steps out of line, I'm going to be critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And colorful. Colorful in our language.
If they not agree with you, you'll be...
It's not about agreeing. No, what he did is unprofessional.
He did something. He went to this woman's hospital room.
So you actually, can you listen to me? You're exactly doing the same thing. You're not in a professional way when you talk like that.
No, we're not doing the same thing. We didn't go to anybody's hospital room. I didn't go to somebody's hospital room and try to intervene with television cameras. I didn't do that.
No,
we're just talking on the radio about what someone did.
Behavior,
that's pretty
all.
Innocent. We're having a conversation, you know. So you're really going off the deep end, my man. You're going crazy there. Are you really in Iraq? That might give you an excuse for going off the deep end.
What? I'm from there anyway, but I'm...
You're from
I'm
there.
Right now... Yes, I'm from there. I'm not there right now, but...
Okay. Where are you now? Can you tell us your coordinates?
A couple of weeks.
Okay. Where are you now?
Sorry?
Where are you now?
This out of the question is okay, whatever. I'm on the Skype right now talking to you.
Are you in the Middle East?
No.
No. Okay.
Not right now, but I'll be there in 2 weeks' time. Other person, you know.
And I'm sorry, you were breaking up right there?
Sorry?
You were just breaking up. I didn't hear what you said.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You just have to say it again.
The other person is your host and talked about the child, the having a child in a negative way. Why, what is, you know, what kind of point he wanted to bring out? I couldn't understand.
Well, obviously, Britney is having a difficult time with being a mother. Do you know who Britney Spears is here? She's a mother of two, and...
He knows.
You know who she is. So she's having a difficult time, and we're talking about how maybe some people like her shouldn't have children so early. You disagree?
That's her choice.
You can disagree. Yeah, that's her choice, so that's fine. That's fine, too, but it's tragic.
Yeah.
It's tragic to see this. And yes, it happens all the time. She's just she's famous, so we all see her, but she represents a lot of young women.
And we see the tragedy here in social services, and we see the tragedy in a global overpopulation. We see the tragedy in shortages of everything.
And we happen to believe, and this is we happen to believe, and this is our opinion, that there's too much pressure on young people, young women especially, to have children.
For the pleasure.
Just to have sex.
The idea is that
if you have sex, you have to have children.
Right. And for the pleasure of the grandparents.
Oh, right. Yeah. For the pleasure of the grandparents.
And the family.
I think it's in everybody, their choice if they want to have a child or not.
Yes,
sure.
But you have to be responsible as a citizen of the world not to overpopulate.
Exactly.
Please.
No, but when I'm... Yeah, it's not over... We never have been overpopulated. never will be that.
Never will be that?
I think it's... No.
It is right now. There are children in the world that are starving to death. We don't have any... We don't have any...
Not to mention a lot of adults.
We don't have any water left. Water is the next big battle besides oil.
And the human population in general is just creating so much devastation. And
the seas are dying.
I mean, it's because of the amount of people.
The North Pole is melting. We got a problem here, sir. It's a problem of human beings that are not understanding what a tragedy we have.
I mean,
the war in Iraq is nothing compared to the shortages that we're facing in the next decades.
Why are you so worried about that?
Why am I worried about it? Because I want to be responsible towards myself. Towards myself. And when I see my God, whatever that God may be, I can say to them, whoever it may be, I want to say...
Yeah. Or Goddess.
I want to say I did the best that I could. I tried.
Yeah, you want to kind of wake up humanity, including ourselves, to responsibility for our mother, the Earth, and for the people that are here and the people that are to come.
Yeah, but I think it's from my view.
And people are getting.
I believe it's.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, your point of view is.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, to me, I think it's the suffering as you're talking about and the children's and in the Third World War. I mean, it's the suffering is because of. Is it somebody really take the opportunity from them and can be the people in the power, the people in in Western country can be too, and as we see the suffering on the other side, we don't do anything about it. And it's not because the world has been overpopulated, it's because of our selfish attitudes.
Well, there's the answer. We're selfish. We want to ride in airplanes.
Yeah.
We want to do all these things. We want to drive motor cars. We want to use the last squeezing oil out of the last oil out of Earth before we release cars that are electric. You know? But mind you.
And we need to do those things if we have huge populations like we're having. We need to do, we need to have ways of getting these people
together,
lighting their, giving them all electricity, giving them all, transportation. They all need livelihoods. I mean, so population leads to all of these. Forms of pollution.
Population explosion is the largest...
It's inevitable.
Is the biggest danger facing humanity today.
Look at all the diapers. People want plastic diapers. Are you going to deny
people
their
plastic
diapers? I guess they should just have cotton diapers that they wash and rewash. But then again, all that washing and rewashing puts a lot of detergent into the water. I mean... No matter how you look at it, no matter almost even if we all live organically, still, population...
Overpopulation...
A lot of stress...
Listen, when I was born, sir...
On the environment.
When I was born, there were 1.5 billion people, almost 2 billion people on Earth. There's now over 6 billion people.
When you were born, was it two... Okay, but...
That was 65 years... That was 65 years ago.
Okay. He must be 65.
That's what he was
saying. I am 65. And in our generation...
Good figuring.
In we have used up 50% of the oil reserves in the world. 50% in a couple of hundred years. Okay? Mm. Because we think we're so smart.
So, anyway, that's our point of view on that subject, and that's your point of view on that subject, but it's very nice to meet you, Kurdistan.
Thank you. Yes, I'm part from Northern Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You're what?
He's from Northern Iraq.
Northern Iraq.
That's why he calls himself Kurdistan.
Okay, all right, all right. Okay, I understand that.
And we're glad to reach out and to have a conversation with you, even if we might disagree about certain things.
And we feel...
No problem.
We feel very much for your people. If you think we were meanies with Dr. Phil, we've been up against Bush for years, and we're just a very small voice, but because of the Internet... Yeah. We are bigger than all voices of all the networks.
Actually, a lot of Kurds like Bush.
Yeah, I know they do. Yeah, I understand why. Listen, I understand why.
People have different points of view.
We can give you a good reason for that.
And I understand that reason. And I
respect that reason.
And I respect that reason, and I think that that's important. And, you know, the Kurdish people are a great people. And a productive and really wonderful people. And I know
and
what
really
they...
And really were one of the only groups that came out ahead in the American invasion of Iraq.
Right. And we understand what Saddam did, and we certainly don't support that.
No. He was a fan of Britney's, too.
And he was a fan of Britney.
Right, just to bring that the Britney theme back. So.
We have to be honest. For the last 10 years, we keep that good relationship with American people, and we really appreciate the people from America. And it's been a brave people soldiers did, and I had a lot of friends over there, and they do good job. And of course, some of the things come out is not always going to be perfect, and but they do a great job, and we appreciate that. And
we understand that.
We
understand that. But let me also tell you what the American people feel. No battle can be won unless you win it yourself, number one. And number two, our boys are dying. And number three...
And girls. Boys and girls.
And number three, America's almost bankrupt.
Yeah, but that the reality, if you want to achieve something in life, is some sacrifice have to be made.
Yes, but it has to be made by the people who are oppressed.
Yeah, I'm not sure what America actually achieved in this. I can see that, you know, the Kurds achieved a lot.
Saying,
listen, I stand by you, and I understand what's happened.
Yeah.
But I also believe, as a human being, as a Jew, that you have to fight your battles.
And, you know, every cloud has a silver lining.
Right.
And this, to me, the whole Iraq invasion and occupation is a big black cloud. And the silver lining is the Kurds and the whole the situation.
And that's the silver lining.
Yeah.
That you have been brought out from under this oppression. What worries me is that when we pull our troops out, which we will, just like the British did, which we will, what is going to happen then?
Well, probably...
But the time will tell what's going to happen.
Well, I'm not a fortune teller, but I will tell you this, knowing the history of Iraq, that probably... you will fall back to where you were.
Splitting up,
right.
But how to split up
without
a lot of fighting?
Yes.
A lot of fighting, that's...
Right, that's the key. How do you split up and have your own land, which you should have, without all the bloodshed?
Well, see, from the point of view of a Kurd, I would think that's better than living under the oppression of Saddam.
Well,
so
right now...
at least they have a fighting chance to have their...
Right now, the Kurds are now at war. The Kurds are now at war with Turkey.
Well,
yeah. So, you know, somebody's got to give something here.
Nobody wants to give.
Nobody wants to give, right. And we as Americans really can't continue this war unabated like this for much longer. And if you don't believe me, trust me, because within the next...
If you don't believe me, trust me.
Trust me, right. Because within, yeah, because...
Phrase, if you don't believe
me,
trust me.
Because within the next 4 years, American troops will be out of there.
I hope so.
As I said, the time will tell. We can't, we don't know, we can have a different, you know, view, mm-hmm. you know, imagination, whatever, or thinking about, we have right to do that, but we don't know what's going to happen.
I hope for the best. Yes, we do, and I would say this to you, and I would say this to the Kurds, and I would say this to the Sunnis, I would say this to all of you, as I would say it to myself. Beware, beware, that within a very short period of time, American troops will no longer be there, and boys from Iowa will not be dying for the freedom of others. The British got kicked out in 10 years. The British got kicked out in 10 years. The British are leaving.
It can happen. We don't know. We just...
But you should prepare for that. What I'm saying is you should prepare for that. You should get together with your countrymen and prepare for that and really run your own nation. And I don't want to sound like Dr. Phil, but that's what it comes down to, because the troops are leaving. Trust me.
So do you think it's going to remain one nation? Will it remain one nation, Iraq, or will it
break out? The Kurds should have their own nation. They're a people.
But, it's very difficult, as you see from neighboring country. It's already, you see from Turkey what's happening.
Right.
And it's, you see is that Iran is threat to even, you know, the whole world, even to America too. And as you see from all the neighboring countries, it's not easy. Not the easy
situation. It's not easy,
to say
I understand.
What's going to happen was, but as I said, we hope for the best, and what come out of that situation, we will see.
But you should not only hope for the best, you should prepare for it.
Or prepare for the worst.
Exactly, sometimes,
Because that's the key.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Right, prepare for the worst. But that's the way life is, really, you know? And believe me, in my heart, this is all very tragic to me, to see children dying, to see families dying, to see nations that are fighting and killing each other. It's horrific.
Over national
I agree with you.
Feelings.
It's a hard thing.
And it's about it's very hard.
It's about national feelings.
It's about national feelings when we really, for the future, whether we're Americans or Kurds or so forth, understand that we are world citizens, that Mother Earth is our mom and it feeds us, and our oil...
Well, speaking of oil, it's also about who controls the oil-rich parts of Iraq.
Yeah, because let me tell you something else. George Bush didn't go in there to bring you democracy. It's not what it's about. George Bush went in there because you guys got oil, and we have no oil.
Whatever motivation, it can be right motivation or not, but I think. If we're looking back in the few years, I think it's American, the government really didn't try to, for the sake of oil entering into the country, but I believe this was something Saddam Hussein was a threat to, and to Jewish people and to the to Western country and American country and America, and yeah, it's getting tough in Middle East, and as you see what's happening every day, it's causing a lot of, you see the Israel, what's happening, you see in Iran, and it's quite, is it tough?
Let me tell you this, make no mistake, the reason we went into Iraq to save you was to save the oil that drives our SUVs. And if you think it's anything else, great. Just like Abraham Lincoln, he didn't give a shit about slaves.
He tried to do that. That was
his reason for the war. Okay. The South was a rich, wealthy...
Well, now, don't be comparing Bush to Lincoln. I don't know if you're a little comparison here is serving you.
But I believe I'm not agreeing with you, because I...
You don't have to agree.
And I... Yeah.
You don't have to agree. I'm one of the few people, that don't bomb people if they don't agree. And that's the bottom line. If we don't agree, we don't...
But you did with Dr. Phil.
Well,
we didn't bomb him. We just criticized him.
Oh,
I didn't bomb him. I didn't bomb him.
Do you know what the swear word you used? Do you know what you told him in the swear word? What is it, you know?
I don't remember.
You think that is not a bomb?
No, that is not a bomb. That is not a bomb.
A bomb.
Use a swear word is no big deal. It's just a word. A bomb... It kills people, it maims people, it's very different than a word.
Can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
Do you know the word is sharper and actually to use it against people than actually act?
Yeah, so let me tell you another version on that. The same word that heals is the same word that kills. Yes. It just depends how you interpret it.
If you're using telling somebody asshole, that's the actually killing word you used before.
Oh, please.
True or not?
Listen, people.
Not.
I get called an asshole.
I've called you an asshole.
I get called an asshole all the time. I still love her.
Right.
Because I was an asshole.
Exactly.
And sometimes we are assholes. And it's okay.
Uh-huh.
But you have to remind them.
It's a common expression here in the United States.
Yeah.
It's a common expression. I met a lot of people from... No, I have a lot of friends from you. It's not a expression.
Someone just said it is common.
Yes, it's
someone's
common.
Over there. It's quite common.
It's very common. And it's not really... Let me tell you something. I take great pride in being called an asshole.
It's not the worst you could be called.
I could be called many other things, and I have been.
But I hope Dr. Phil doesn't take pride right now in knowing that he has been called an asshole.
Anyway, if you come to Iraq, don't use that word.
Hey, listen, there was
just a part of the body.
It's just a word, and the pen is mightier. The pen is mightier. Right. It's very...
Okay, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
You,
okay.
And have a good night.
And we're with you.
Salam.
Salam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Salam, shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah, and peace.
Peace be with you, too.
Yeah. Peace be with
Take
you.
Take care.
Okay, we have Shakespeare now. Hello, Shakespeare. Hello. Shakespeare is speechless. Okay, well...
Shakespeare can't be speechless.
Well, this one is.
Shakespeare, let us not down. Okay.
If music be the food of love, play on. Oh, Shakespeare, Shakespeare, wherefore art thou, Shakespeare? All right, well, we're about done, aren't we? We've done an hour?
We have done almost an hour.
Almost an hour.
We're almost done.
Almost done.
So we've got about 9 minutes left. So if you have anything to say, if you want to criticize us, if you want to call us names.
Call us assholes.
Call us anything you want. But freedom is about the freedom to talk. Not to throw bombs.
Yeah, and this is internet radio where we have the freedom to use all kinds of language, including colorful language.
Colorful language.
Yes, we do.
Which is the essence of literature.
Yeah. I mean, why should we censor our speech? Why should we say, oh, we can't call people certain names?
Well, especially when they call me those names. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, we shall see. I fire back.
And of course, it is very different to be bombed. It is very, very different. That people get crazy in wartime, you know. Maybe that's from living under war, and it's like that gang mentality. Like, you diss me, I kill you.
You disrespect me, I kill you.
Gee, I mean, come on. I know how much it hurts to be criticized. Believe me, I don't like to be criticized. I don't like to be called names.
Why don't we just be bonobos and trade and prosper?
Well, bonobos call each other names.
Well, yeah, but they still...
They screech at each other.
They trade and they prosper.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, they have issues. That's the thing, is calling each other's names is part of being human, and of course... War is part of being human, too, I guess.
And
but it's something we should kind of
wait a minute, right. It's a long way from words to picking up a gun.
A long way.
And killing somebody. That's not nice.
Violation of their physical space.
I also found this very interesting, what he said.
Yeah.
It's not why George Bush came in there. George Bush came in there for the oil.
He knows that.
Yeah, well, no. He kept saying no, he didn't.
No, he was disagreeing with you about Abraham Lincoln.
Well, Abraham Lincoln, listen, truth be told, was like Columbus, you know. So.
But what he was saying was that even though George Bush might have gone in there for the oil, the effect of him going in there has, quote-unquote, freed the Kurds.
Well, you know, before he went in there, the Kurds were protected by American warplanes. No fly zones.
Yeah, but Saddam was really giving the Kurds a hard time.
Of course he was, yeah.
So they weren't protected.
And the Kurds, in a way, and I have to, you know, you're killing Turks.
The Kurds are killing Turks.
Turks, yeah. And there's a whole war going on there now. And that kind of stuff has got to stop.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for us to take sides.
Right. I mean, you know, it's got to stop. And the other thing that's got to stop, and if you're listening in Iraq or anywhere else in the world, American troops are not going to be there much longer. We can't afford it. This is from a citizen.
Yeah.
We're broke. You broke us.
But then we're going to let the oil go? I mean, we're going to leave soldiers by the oil reserves.
Well, as we build new cars that use alternative energy in factories, we're going to let go of the oil, yes.
Well, I hope so.
And by the way, Saddam was our third biggest provider of oil. What we did now, the oil is almost $100 a barrel. The oil companies have made major profits. Billions and billions of dollars worth of profits. And the Saudi royal family, Saddam Hussein, the Bush crime family, are in one business. It's called the oil business.
Well, what you're saying is correct. They'll be out of business.
Well, they'll be out of business soon because... The war now, I forget what it costs per family, per individual in the United States. It's humongous, that debt. If you had a family debt like that, you couldn't pay it.
Yeah. All right.
There you have it. Trust me.
If you don't believe
me.
Okay, so it's
one last comment. Nobody has anything to say.
Nobody is up here.
Okay, how many people are in there?
Well, there's 174 people.
174 people. My God, that's tough.
Okay. Put yourself in the waiting room if you have one last comment.
Come on,
put yourself.
I want One last
up
comment.
Into the waiting room, and we will
just
put you
just got
into
a couple
talking.
Of minutes. We want to end the show.
If you're listening on drsusanblock.com, you can call 1-866-289-7068 if you're in North America. That's our toll-free number. Anywhere else in the world, you can call 213-749-1330. And if you're in Skype, you can put yourself into waiting, and we will put you into talking. But they're not doing
Let's
it.
Let's do it. Come on, one. Come on. Why do you make me beg?
Okay,
I'm
good.
An old man. I wear a little cap on my head. I bet I had sex last
though.
Night.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to end the program because nobody wants to put in the last comment.
I'm sleepy.
Okay. Dr. Block is sleepy. And so we're going to go ahead and play for you a pre-recorded program. You can hang out, or you can go to another Skype cast, or you can go make love, or whatever you want to do.
Or you can go on drsusanblock.com.
You can go on drsusanblock.com.
We have new Eros Day operatic orgy pictures backstage.
Ah, right. Talk about wars.
No, it's
these
the opposite.
These are the flesh wars.
Making love, not war.
All right.
So, we'll be back tomorrow night. In the meantime, be good, be happy. Try not to hurt anyone, including yourself, no matter how tough it is. Okay? And you can say what you want, call people assholes, you know, but...
But never raise a fist or a missile.
No punching, no shooting, no bombing, please. Make love, not war. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
From Los Angeles, California, you've been listening to Radio Susie 1 on the World Wide Web. Many of our broadcasts are archived, and you can find them at drsusanblock.com. That's Dr. Susan Block, BLOCK.com. Block violence in your life. Change your world. Give up some territory and build a new paradise. Thank you for having us, and thank you. Hey, thank you for having us in your lovely home. Skype is a revolutionary tool. The internet is a revolutionary tool of the people. A country without borders. A country on the internet where we can talk to each other and try to understand each other. I'm going to put you in a pre-recorded program. We're still live. We're here, and it's broadcasting from Los Angeles, California, and Cannes, France.
Is Venus going to be here? And one of the Eroses is going to give the bride away, Elijah Eros. And Venus, you should be at the wedding. Who is Venus fucking?